You are listening to WRUU Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM and WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul. Everybody, and welcome to Parenting Room 101. I'm your host, Christy Sanborn, and I am so excited to have you today. I hope you had a beautiful and Merry Christmas. I'm actually doing my first live stream today on Facebook. Hello to all my Facebook buddies. Hey guys, it's my first time. I just felt inspired to share a video today of what actually goes on in the studio, because I think that just brings so much more value to the experience of using our voices. And also sometimes it's nice to watch somebody. I know I like to watch a lot of YouTube videos with the people that inspire me, and I love seeing their facial expressions and how they move their hands and, you know, where they pause. And it's just, I think it's time to do the video more often. So for all my Facebook buddies, thanks for watching. Hi, Alyssa. Welcome to the show. And if anybody would like to come on the air, there is a phone number there in the Facebook post that I put that you can go ahead and call that number, and I'll be the one answering to bring you on the air. If you'd like to share a New Year's resolution, or if one of these topics today speaks directly to your heart, I would love to hear your voice. So let's get started. I want to start the show a little bit differently today than I have in the past. What we're going to do differently today is I'm going to start with a prayer. Because, well, yesterday was Christmas, and I'm so glad that we were able to not only pray at night before our son goes to bed, but we also had a nice prayer over our Christmas dinner. So I'm going to share a little prayer with you. But actually, this prayer is a prayer that I say every single day, and I hope that it inspires you. Dear God, thank you for the most beautiful day. Thank you for allowing me to be the bridge between you and everyone I speak to today, so that I can speak to them from my highest self in a language they'll understand. Thank you for letting every day feel like Christmas. Amen. So with that being said, I would love to talk about Christmas and what Christmas looked like yesterday for me. So actually, let's start with Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve, my husband and I have this beautiful tradition where we get a babysitter for our son, and we go out to lunch, just the two of us. This is something we've been doing for such a long time, probably about 10 years now, actually. And I really look forward to it because I get to put on a pretty dress, and my husband drives us to a restaurant, and we get to sit across from each other at a table and hold hands and just feel grateful for our relationship and for Christmas. And Christmas Eve is my favorite day of the year. It didn't used to be, actually. It used to be 4th of July, but Christmas Eve is now my favorite because of the anticipation of Christmas Day and just all the time and energy that goes into putting the decorations up and getting the tree and getting the gifts and wrapping them and getting excited for Santa and making the cookies and all these other fun things that we do. And in that moment, in those moments, sharing a seat and a table with my husband just feels like the icing on the cake. So that's what we do every Christmas Eve. And then, of course, we do put the cookies and milk out, and we throw the carrots in the front lawn for the reindeer. I'm sure everybody out there probably does the same. And we get excited for Christmas morning. Now, this Christmas morning, since our son is 10, he slept in a little bit, actually. He got up around 4 o'clock in the morning this time, as opposed to in the past, where it was more like 2 o'clock in the morning. So he was up at 4. He went to use the bathroom, and then he tried to go back to bed as best that he could, but I'd say it was probably about 5:25 when he said, "Mom, I'm ready to get up." And of course, my husband and I said, "Of course, let's go. Let's go open these gifts." So he was thrilled to go open the gifts under the tree, and he said he got most of the things that he asked for, so he was very, very happy about that. Santa brought him so many things, including an electric guitar and a drum kit, so I definitely know for sure that he has a beautiful gift slash desire to play music, and he is good at it. He can hold a beat. He loves rap music. He loves techno music. He loves classical music. So I'm excited to see what he does with his new instruments. And of course, I play the harp. I don't know if I've shared that in the past, but I started this year playing the harp. So we have quite the ensemble over in Wilmington Island, Georgia. So that's been exciting. Excuse me. So that was Christmas. And then, of course, for Christmas dinner, we always cook a nice meal. So this year, my daughter's still in New Jersey. So we FaceTimed her quite a bit on Christmas Day to have her with us because she's our family and we love her so much. And it was so nice to have her on the phone. And Christmas dinner this year, we decided to do steamed crab legs with chicken parmesan. So my husband handled the crab and I handled the chicken parm. So that was really delicious. And our son really loved the crabs. I didn't realize he liked crab legs as much as he does. So I think we may be doing that again for New Year's Day. We'll probably do some crab legs. So that was really fun. And really just speaking as a mom, my mom role here is by last night at like 9:30, I was done. I even told my husband, I'm like, I don't think I can handle any more input. Like, it's just so much, you know, with just so many conversations and cleaning and cooking and opening gifts. And we even did make time to go to the beach yesterday. We went to Tybee for about an hour and a half, which was just pure bliss. So I'm so glad we had that quiet time. But by the end of the day, I was tired, you know, and I just felt wonderful that it all was complete. And it was beautiful, and when my head hit the pillow last night, I slept better than I have in a long time. So I'm really happy about that, because that just says that, you know, as a mom, we always want to do the most we can for our kids. We just want to make it as special as we can. And I think the older I get, the more important it is for me to really just set a good example for everyone and not to overdo it as a mom. A lot of times in the past, I used to overdo it, meaning I would give too much until I came up short. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit on the show. I will share a story about something that happened a few days ago where I know for sure that I overdid it. And I'm going to tell you how I handled that and how I am going to continue to handle that moving forward. Because I think for a mom, for a woman, a lot of times we don't know how much is too much until we're exhausted. We don't realize sometimes that we've given too much of ourselves, because sometimes it feels like that's what we're supposed to do as a woman. It's our role to show up and be the mom and be the wife. And if you work, then, you know, of course you have that hat that you put on and you do all these things. And I think it's a slippery slope sometimes, because by the time you realize that you are exhausted and overstimulated, you probably had some warning signs like a half hour before that, if not even sooner than that, maybe 2 hours before, but you just ignored it and you pushed on. So my advice here is, if there's a sink full of dishes in your house and you are exhausted at 9:30 at night, please don't do the dishes. They can wait. They can either wait until tomorrow, or you could ask your spouse or your kids to help. Don't do more than you feel like you can do. We only have a certain amount of energy every day in our tank. So I'm very, very careful about how much of my energy I'm giving away. Very careful with who I'm speaking with, or how many phone calls a day I'm taking, or how much time I'm spending on social media, or how much time am I actually wasting on emails being sent out and stuff like that. I have to be very mindful of those things, because all of those things are energy zappers. Okay. So how I recharge my battery is really by sitting in a nice hot bath, or taking a walk outside without my shoes on, or just breathing, or taking some time to meditate, or praying, or reading. I love to read. So sometimes I'll just sit on my couch and get my book and make a nice cup of coffee or tea, and I'll just enjoy the quiet, peaceful time and just get lost in a book for as long as I'm allowed to before somebody's calling, "Mom," you know, something like that. Hi, Allison. Thank you for watching the live stream. Nice to see you today. So that was Christmas. And today I will be interviewing myself. So that's what's happening today. So a new format here today. Usually I have a guest in the studio, but this time, by design, I'm here by myself. So I'm actually really happy to be here by myself today to reflect on the entire year of Parenting Room 101. The show has really grown so much since the first episode. I feel like I've grown so much. I feel that my voice has grown so much, meaning that I'm not nervous anymore when I come in here. I used to be very nervous and I had to take a lot of deep breaths and I had to like mentally psych myself up to come sit in here. But now I've been able to really just be myself. And when people say, wow, Christy, you have such a beautiful voice, I say, thank you so much. It took a long time to find it. And I know that I found it now because I'm not scared to share it. So let's start with just a few questions that I've prepared to ask myself. So I did write all these questions down, but I didn't take any time to actually think through the answers. So I'm going to just go with it and I hope you enjoy it. So get cozy. It's going to be a fun little talk. What have my guests reflected back to me about myself that I didn't see at first? I think that when people come in here to the studio, they are nervous. Quite a few people have been nervous. And I think that reflects back to me because I was nervous too for a long time. And it took a long time to just say what I feel and be okay with it and not ask for permission and be okay with people disagreeing with me. And also just being myself. So I think that people come in here and it usually takes about 10 minutes for them to get comfortable. And then all of a sudden this like veil is released and then they just become really themselves. And I've learned so much from watching the guests that have come on here to really just be aware of that veil and just showing up as me as often as possible. What answer from a guest stayed with me long after the microphone turned off? Okay, well, to answer this question, when my husband came on last week, I'm still in awe of the one question I asked him about fatherhood, I believe. I think the question was something like, what does it mean to be a father? Or what does it mean to be a man? Or something like that along those lines. Or something like, what was the advice you'd give to your younger self? And he said, I would give myself the advice to stop drinking or to never start drinking, something like that. So that still sits with me so strongly, and the way he was able to express that. And we both stopped drinking almost 3 years ago. So when he said that, it was so moving, and it was such an unexpected answer. And I'm just so proud of him for being able to overcome drinking and to really, you know, at 43 years old now, he can say that he's just past that. You know, he's been there and done that. And he was sharing with me that his dad always wanted him to stop. And his dad's no longer with us. He passed away a few years ago. But I know his dad would be so proud today to know that he's made such a beautiful decision for his life. And he's such a great dad and such a great husband and all those things. And now he's just even better without the alcohol. And me too, for that matter. I'm so much better at all those roles that I play. How has holding space for others deepened my compassion for myself? Well, I guess for me, at times in my life, it's always been easier for me to go deep with people, you know, just to like dive in and ask them questions and get to know them and be a good listener and all that stuff. And I think in the past, I developed this quality of being really good at asking questions and getting people to open up because I didn't want myself to open up to them. You know, it was like an easy way to just get them to talk, and I can just listen, and then I won't have to reveal too much of me. And now I know for sure that when I hold space for others, it's also respectful that I hold space for me so that I can return the same respect, you know, asking people things and then also being open for them to ask me things. So I am an open book and I've always been. Sometimes in my earlier years, I think I was too open. And what I've realized is that boundaries are important and I'm very careful about how much I share about other people, especially my intimate family members, my husband and my kids. I'm very careful. I share about me and my experiences and my life, but it's important to, and this is just a little advice for anybody listening, it's important to just be conscious of how much you're saying about others. Just be careful with that. Like when somebody says something like, oh, so how's your husband's new job? I heard he got a new job or something like that. I'd be very delicate about how I answer those questions because I don't want to speak for my husband. I try really hard not to do that. So I may just give a one word answer to something like that. Like, oh, well, you know, he's enjoying it. Or I would say something like, well, you know, as far as I know, he's doing well with it. But if, you know, you're always welcome to speak with him if you have questions about it. And, you know, I just kind of defer to that. So I learned that tool a few years ago, and it's actually been very beneficial for all of my relationships, especially for someone, like I said, who used to be an oversharer, which I'm no longer. Cheers to that. What does safety feel like to me? Safety feels like my husband giving me a big hug and I can just fall into him and just feel the containment. I can just lean into him knowing that he's got me. That's what safety feels. And I feel that that is a blessing every single day of my life. And I don't take any of that for granted. And I'm so thankful for him. Where am I reacting instead of responding in my life? I feel like I've gotten really good at this, although I still come up short a lot of times. But I think that, okay, the only thing that really comes to mind is noise. I think that, and again, I've gotten better at this, but if things are too loud, I do tend to get very overstimulated. And actually, my daughter has said that to me in the past. She's like, Mom, you know, I can tell when it's noisy in the house and I call you that you're just like, you're losing it. And she's right, because a lot of times that will kind of set me off if it's too loud. And I think that just comes from a few different things, like maybe because I am a sensitive person. And also, I grew up in a home where we had to be so quiet and we were always told to be very, very quiet. So there's that, you know, there's like the part of me that I've still had to overcome and kind of heal from and then relearn that noise is a good thing. And having a house with noise is good. Now, we have a drum kit now in our front room and an electric guitar with an amplifier that my son got for Christmas. So it's loud. And I lean into the noise until it feels too much. And then I'll say something like, hey, would you mind turning that down? Or especially with the TV. If I walk into the room and the TV is just blaring, it can be really hard for me sometimes to relax in that type of environment. So I'd say that I try really hard not to react. And I try to just ask politely, you know, please turn that down or I'll turn it down. What am I avoiding that's asking for my attention? What am I avoiding? I guess I could work out more. I'm avoiding that, I guess. And I know that's true because there is enough time in the day to do all the things that you want to do / should be doing for your health. So, hey, Greg. So I guess I'm avoiding that, and I'm going to really, really get better at that in 2026. I will make sure that I get back on my bicycle and back outside walking and do some more yoga and do my e-gym at the Y and things like that that I like to do and that I know are important for my overall physical well-being. So that's what I'm avoiding, or at least I will be changing that in a few weeks. How has listening helped me more than speaking? I think that listening is a skill that we could all develop ourselves, and we should work on developing that skill. I think it's a beautiful skill to have, especially for men. I think if you can be a good listener without giving any kind of feedback or criticism or trying to come up with solutions to problems, I think you are like a unicorn as far as men go. But listening helps because everybody wants to be heard. And if it's someone's turn to speak, then the best thing you could do is just wait until they're finished and then say your piece. So I am still working on this. I know I will get better at it if I continue to practice this. I think I am a good listener, but I think I could always be better. So something we could all be better at. How has my definition of strength evolved this year? How is my definition of strength? I'd say that I think the radio show has developed a lot of my strength, actually. Just being here and being able to use my voice and just take the time to plan these shows and really put my heart into to this has really given me a lot of strength that I thought I had already, but I actually didn't have. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm so thankful to have this platform. And I'm so thankful that you're listening and that the people that come on the show continue to trust and have faith in the vision that I have for this show. What are people afraid of? The question is, what are most people afraid of? In my opinion, what are most people afraid of? I think change. I think that scares a lot of people. I think people do struggle with that. I personally don't. I like change. I don't have a problem with change. I actually embrace change. I lean into change. I'm very, very flexible. That's just my nature. That's my personality. So, but that would be my answer to that question. In what ways have I become a better parent this year? I think I've become a better parent this year because I don't try to copy and paste everything. Like, how I raised my daughter is a lot different than how I'm raising my son. So I know that I'm better with him because I don't try to do the things I used to do with my daughter and expect the same results from him because he's a completely different human than my daughter. So I think, okay, well, let me answer this question in two parts. So with my daughter, she'll be 23 in a few weeks. So how am I a better parent to her this year? I think because I wait for her to ask for help before I just throw the help at her like I used to. So now when she calls and she needs something or she wants to vent about something, I try my best to just listen and be present and be compassionate. And I don't throw help, you know, unless she asks me, hey, mom, would you please give advice? Hey, mom, would you please send $20 or whatever it is she needs help with? I'm careful. At least I'm trying to be. With my son, I'm better in ways like if he gets hurt, I don't make a big deal out of it. You know, if he falls down, I just assume he's okay. And if he needs more than just a hug or a Band-Aid, he'll let me know. So I've gotten better at that. Where did I learn that regulation matters more than perfection? I think this took a long time to learn because I do find that because I'm a Virgo, I do tend to lean into perfectionism. It's just my nature. I don't put that kind of pressure on anyone else, although I do put that pressure on myself. If I'm going to do something, I want to do it as best as I can, like 100%, no matter what I'm doing. So I think that's a beautiful quality to have in my personality. But I think that learning how to regulate is really so, so valuable in life. You have to learn, first of all, you have to study a little bit and learn about what your emotions actually mean so that when they come up, you know what to do with them and you're not just a fumbling mess or you're not just running and pouring yourself a drink to avoid all the feelings that you're having. So I think that learning about regulation is something that we all could study a little bit more. And I wish they would even teach it in school because as soon as you understand how to regulate your emotions, you'll notice that your whole life gets smoother, easier, and more peaceful. At least it has from my experience. In what ways are my children my greatest teachers? Every way. Every single way. They're the best, and they are certainly my teachers. They've taught me how to be open. They've taught me how to be flexible. They've taught me how to have a sense of humor. Because sometimes I could be too serious. They've taught me how to save money. They're so good with that. And yeah, just everything. They're my whole world. Where did I practice surrender instead of strategy this year? I guess every time I ask my husband for help, I'm surrendering. Because in the past, my nature was just to be this independent superwoman who could do everything herself, not because I was trying to prove anything, but just because I always felt like I was a leader and that asking for help was not something that I ever really needed to do as a young girl. So I guess that's where I've practiced surrendering. Every time I ask my husband for help and accept the help, that is a step in the right direction. How did trust become louder than fear over time? Well, this question's interesting because I feel like I've always had trust in my heart. I trust everyone, sometimes to a fault. Trust has never been a problem for me. I do trust people to do the right thing. And if my trust is broken, I can forgive and I do forgive them, but then I'm cautious from there on forward. So that would be my answer to that. And as far as fear goes, I don't really have any fear anymore. I used to fear heights. I don't fear them anymore. I really don't have any fears that I can think of. How did honesty reshape my relationships this year? I think we could always be more honest. Even when we are telling the truth and we're living in our truth, I think that as we get closer to our spouse or our intimate partners, there's always opportunity to share more about ourselves and to be more honest. So I like to think that I continue to do that with my husband. I like to continue to open up to him and to tell him more of my truths. What part of this year am I the most grateful for? I think Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I'm just so grateful to have a peaceful environment to spend my holidays. Even Thanksgiving was just so peaceful and wonderful with my husband and my two kids. There's no drama, there's no issues, there's no unresolved stuff. Just four people that care about each other, that respect each other, that are very different in all types of ways, but yet can still come together and have unconditional love for each other and respect for each other. So I'm so forever grateful for my family. What wisdom am I carrying forward into the next season? I think the wisdom I'm carrying into 2026 is to just put all the chips on me. To just really focus on who I am and where I'm going and what I want to accomplish, and really don't waver that. Just really back myself this year coming up, because I think that message is for everybody. You know, really just look in the mirror and realize that you are the prize. You're the prize. You're incredible. You have so much to give and share in the world. It's just a matter of you believing that and feeling worthy of that and trusting your own voice and taking the time to get to know yourself better. Self-reflection is huge. Take some time, spend it with yourself. Maybe spend a night or a day or a weekend alone with yourself and take yourself out to dinner. Treat yourself like you would treat a good friend and shine. Shine your bright light. If this year had one message, what would it be? I think it would be, well, it was the year of the snake, or it still is. And I think the message would be, this is the shedding season. We're just coming to the end of a shedding of all of the things that are no longer working for our lives and our relationships and what you're no longer willing to tolerate. And I think that 2025 has shown all those things to us. And it's up to us to say, you know what? I'm going to purge. I'm going to let that go. I'm no longer going to keep knocking on a door that doesn't open. I'm not going to chase anything that's not for me. So that would be my message for 2025. And I'm very grateful that it's just about over. It's been a beautiful year. It's been a tough year in a lot of ways because of the shedding of the skin of the snake, that things that just aren't fitting us anymore. What am I ready to release? Well, I will say this without sharing too much. I am releasing a new book in the spring. I wrote my first children's book and it's coming out Mother's Day 2026. So get ready. I'm not going to share or spoil anything more about it here, but I want to share that with you because I am extremely excited about the first book I've ever written and how powerful the message is and how beautiful the illustrations are going to be, thanks to a friend of mine who's doing all the work. And stay tuned because you'll be hearing about it on Parenting Room 101 when it comes out, or at least before it comes out too. What am I ready to receive? I'm ready to receive everything that I'm worthy of. I'm ready to receive everything that is coming my way. I'm ready to receive blessings. Always. So I want to talk about, I'm going to share a little story about something that happened a few days ago with our son and the lesson that was learned on his end and also the lesson that was learned on my end. So here's the story. Our son was given a gift card for Christmas by our babysitter, actually, and it was a PlayStation gift card. And he didn't want to keep the gift card because he couldn't use it for his Roblox account. So he decided to ask my husband if my husband would buy the gift card for $25 in exchange for the gift card. But my husband said no. And a few hours later, my son came to me and asked me the same question, if I would buy the gift card for $25 in exchange, right? So that he could use that money to get a Roblox credit or something like that. So I said yes, even though my husband said no a few hours before, but I didn't know that. So I said yes, no problem. So I gave my son the $25, took the PlayStation gift card, helped my son put the $25 credit on his Roblox account. My son got onto the account within like 3 seconds. He was upset because he goes, oh no, I just lost all of that money. I just lost the $25. And he was pretty upset. And I said, well, what happened? And I didn't really understand because it was like video game lingo, but something along the lines of, you know, I tried to get this prize, but then I got, I forget the word he used. I got like gypped or something like that. And I said, oh no, I'm so sorry. That stinks, you know? And he was pretty upset that he couldn't get the $25 credit back. But then I spoke to my husband and my husband said, oh no, I told him that I wasn't going to give him the $25. I said no. And you said yes. And I said, well, yeah, I didn't know that you said no earlier. So there was this whole situation happening, right, between the three of us. So I want you to picture this. We're sitting on our couch in the living room. My son's upset. My husband's upset too because, well, our son went and asked his dad first and then he asked me second. So, you know what? We've all done this too. So with that being said, let's piggyback for a minute on that. I remembered being a kid too. And if dad said no, or usually it was mom, if mom said no, then of course I'm going to dad. And that's just what kids do, usually around this age. By 10 years old, you kind of figure out like, oh, well, if one person won't let me, if one parent says no, then, well, might as well try my luck with the other one. So it's not uncommon for a kid to try this. And that's what happened. And because of that, my son lost the money. So I explained to my son, as we're sitting on the couch, I said, here's what happened. You asked your dad. He said no. Then, knowing that he said no, you came to me and I said yes, and I gave you the $25. And then immediately you got something that you wanted and immediately you lost it. And I said, well, that's just the law of karma. We didn't have to teach you any lesson here. God actually taught you a lesson because you are a good kid that made a bad decision. And that's exactly what happened. You knew it was wrong to come to me after your dad said no. And you still were able to get that gift, right? You still were able to get it, but you couldn't keep it. And this is the lesson. And it's hard to hear that. And I know my son's funny. And if he's listening to this, I know he's probably rolling his eyes right now. Like, oh, mom, there goes all those lessons you're trying to teach me or all that other stuff. But sometimes God teaches you the lesson. And it doesn't really matter what the mom and dad say so much, but, you know, it's just, what happened is what was supposed to happen. But he did learn his lesson. And then The second part of that story is we ended up going to the grocery store together, the three of us, and we're walking through the aisles, and this is not too long after he lost the $25 in the video game, and we're in this grocery store. My husband's pushing the cart. I'm there walking behind him. My son is next to me. My son's crying the whole time in the grocery store. He's just melting down, having a hard time. And I asked him a few times, hey, do you need some help? Do you need me to listen? Do you want to take a walk outside? It was just no, 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 no the whole time. No, mom, leave me alone. I don't want it. So, and then at this point, my husband's asking, you know, what kind of groceries should we get? And it was overwhelming. And I'm sharing this with you because I think some people think that maybe I have it all together. Oh, well, she's got it all together. You know, she does this and she's a coach and she obviously, you know, knows what she's talking about. And I think I know what I'm talking about sometimes, but I'm still a human and I'm still a mom and I'm still a woman. And I lose it sometimes. I get overwhelmed sometimes and I get overstimulated and dysregulated. And that's what happened at the grocery store. So it was all these things leading up to, I felt rushed. I felt like my son was upset. And of course, as a mother, we always feel the feelings of our kids, even though we try not to. So my husband said something like, oh, you know, you have like something on your dress. I was wearing a dress and I had like spilled some flour or something on it. And I was looking down at my dress and he kept saying, oh, there's something there. Look, you got to move it around. You know, he's pointing it out. And at that point, I just got upset. You know, I said, okay, I can't take it anymore. Like I'm just... So I think I said something like, upset, right? For lack of better words. And then immediately my husband felt bad because he thought he did something wrong. And I just walked not too far away. I just walked about 10 steps away just to take a deep breath in the middle of the aisle, come back to myself, right? And I said to my husband, I'm sorry. I just let it get to me. And he said, I know. I let our son get to me. I let his emotional state get to me. And I realized that pretty quickly. And I was able to snap out of it. I was able to be calm again for him, for my husband, for myself. And we continued with our grocery trip. And by the time we got into the truck and we left the store, my son was all better at that point. Like he had been able to process what happened and go through the motions of feeling what he was feeling. And everything was okay. And that's what I want to share here is that even when it seems overwhelming and it seems like you don't think it's ever going to end, you know, if somebody's crying or they're having a fit or whatever it is and they're sniffling and all that, if you just let it take its course, it eventually will be done. So I'm excited because I was able to experience a situation that came through and came up. I didn't handle it the best, but I also learned a lot from it. And I know that moving forward, I'll just get better at handling these things. That's all we can do for ourselves. And have grace. Just hold the grace for yourself. I want to share a little bit about what I've learned in 2025. I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to share with you all the things I've learned this year that I was able to put together in a little list. So hang tight. Be back in just a minute.
The Exchange Club of Richmond Hill will host its annual casino night fundraising event on Saturday, January 10th at the Richmond Hill City Center. Proceeds from the event support local initiatives and nonprofit organizations that positively impact children and families in the community. More information can be found and tickets can be purchased at richmondhillexchange.com. On Thursday, January 15th, the Historic Savannah Foundation features Sally Ann Robinson talking on the topic of Defusky Island, preserving a family home and protecting a Gullah Geechee legacy. The lecture starts at 6 p.m. at the historic Kennedy Pharmacy at 323 East Broughton Street, Savannah. Non-members may purchase tickets online at myhsf.org/events/lecture-series.
You're listening to your radio station, WRUU, which is presented by people just like you, people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and other Savannah residents. Therefore, WRUU is your community radio station. So won't you please help by donating whatever you can afford to help your neighbors stay on the air? Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station with a monetary contribution of any amount. Again, you can support your local radio station at WRUU.org. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tim, the host of a show called Not Fade Away here on WRUU. Do you like the feeling of, oh wow, I love this song and I haven't heard it in forever? Then join me on Friday afternoons from 1 to 2 p.m. I play forgotten hits and songs that were good enough to have been hits but never made it. Let's keep great music alive together. Not Fade Away, Fridays at 1 p.m. here on WRUU.
Welcome back, everybody, to Parenting Room 101. I'm your host, Christy Sanborn. And thank you for everybody on Facebook Live today for watching our live stream. It's our first one, and there will be more, trust me. I think every week we'll do it. So welcome back to the show. Here's a few things that I've learned from 2025. Now, I hope you enjoy this list because this is the majority of the things that I have learned this year. Of course, there's some of these things that I learned years prior, but even more this year, I feel like these things have really come to fruition. So here's my list. I hope you enjoy. Regulation is power. The space between stimulus and response holds all of my wisdom. Nothing fully happens until I choose how to respond, because there's always a small window. I want to talk about that real quick. So this concept is pretty awesome. So nothing really happens until you respond. So let's just say, for instance, let's just say that all of a sudden right now I'm recording this radio show and the computer just freezes up, which by the way has happened lots of times. And all of a sudden now my recording isn't recording anymore. And now I can't use that audio to post on my social media as a replay and all that other stuff. So there's the situation. So there's a window, right? The small little window of the computer freezing. I realize the computer's frozen. And now, how am I going to respond to that? So how I respond to the stimulus is how it actually takes shape in the universe. And we always have a choice of how we're going to respond. And to be honest, because it's happened so many times, how I respond is usually the same way every time. Oops, the computer's frozen. Oh, well, let's continue with our show. I guess it's meant to be. There's a reason why it's not working or whatever. And that would be my response. Now, in the old days, it might have been something like, oh, my goodness, anxiety or just feeling like no control over the situation or whatever it was, but not anymore. Now it's like, oh, okay, that happened. So for the most part, I hate to use the word passive, but I do feel like I'm passive with a lot of things because I just refuse to let something like that wreck my day. I'm just not going to allow that. Here's some more things I've learned in 2025. Fear shows up when I'm trying to take. This is a beautiful concept too, because when you show up for something, whether it's a dinner or a radio show, or you're showing up to the office to work, you're showing up to give a presentation. Are you showing up to take something from people? Are you showing up because you care about what they think? You're looking for the round of applause. You're looking for the thank you and all that other stuff, because people can sense when you're showing up for those reasons. But when you show up to just be a giver and to be present and just to be authentic, people can sense that too. Fear dissolves when I choose to give. And it's true. Every decision is rooted in fear or love. I love this. Think about that one. Every single decision you make is rooted in fear or love. Intention creates consequences more than action does. Intention is everything. Your intention, it's just like before the show, we started with the prayer. That is my intention. That was my, that's my intention for the day, for our talk today. It's always about your intention. Pain reveals wisdom. So if you can look back on 2025 to the painful parts, I'm sure that you walked away with something, some wisdom that you didn't have before that. Suffering is always a choice. What breaks me often expands me. The greatest suffering comes from the lies that we tell ourselves. The truth only hurts if it's true. Two things can be true at the same time. I love this one, by the way. Like, you can be a wonderful mom, but you can still get annoyed with your kids. Those two things can be true at the same time. Just saying. Emotions are learned, not inherited. Babies are not born with emotions. They're born with feelings, but they have to learn what those emotions actually mean. And that's something that we all have to get better at. Feelings are looking for support, not solutions. This is for me because even the other day at the grocery store with my son, you know, my son was expressing all of these feelings and emotions. He wasn't looking for solutions. The feelings weren't looking for, hey, mom, tell me what I could do and fix this for me. No, they weren't. They were just looking for support. So, powerful message right there. Regulation is always contagious. Awareness is leadership, especially self-awareness. Chasing God brings more peace than chasing money. Absolutely. Saving money is an act of self-respect and safety. Yeah. It is safe for me to have excess money. This is actually my mantra. This is actually the wallpaper on my phone right now. Normally the wallpaper on my phone is a picture of my husband and I, but right now it says that. It's safe for me to have excess money because in the past, it was something that I didn't feel safe having. It was like, oh, I have extra money. Oh, I can spend it. Oh, I can give it away. Oh, I can buy this thing. And now it's not the same. Now it's like, you know what? No, I'm going to hold that money and it's safe for me to have it, even though it has nowhere to go right now. That took a long time to be able to say that. And that feels really good. Trusting my gut is trusting God. This moment in front of me is holy. I love this one. This is like so special. And I hope that you heard that because every moment is holy. What's happening to you right now, right in front of you, has been given to you by the divine creator. And it's just a matter of how you respond to it. Every single moment is holy. Life is never punishing us. It's preparing us. Doing less for my kids helps them to do more for themselves. This is coming from a ex-people pleaser. So someone who always wants to, or used to, always want to do everything for everybody to make sure everybody felt comfortable and everybody was happy and everybody was okay. And that's not good for kids. It's actually good to say no. It's really good for them to hear you say that. Just by being present, you're practicing conscious parenting. And I like to use the metaphor of just sitting on the bench with your child when they're having a hard time. Like my daughter just called me a little while ago. She had a situation happen when she was getting her eyebrows threaded at the mall and something happened. She's okay. But something happened that didn't go well and she was upset. And I can sit with her on the bench while she's upset, metaphorically. She can call me and share what's on her heart and her frustrations and all those things. And it's not my job to fix these things for her. I can just be there as support. I can just be there and picture myself sitting on the park bench with her, next to her, with my arm around her shoulder, listening and just being there consciously, being there. That's enough. I can handle my child's emotions without silencing them. Yes. Because you know what? If you can't handle your child's emotions, how are they supposed to handle their emotions? Think about that. Two of the most powerful things to say to your kids are, I believe you, and I believe in you. My husband thrives on appreciation. By the way, all men do. All men thrive on this. It's so important to find things every day to thank, if you're lucky enough to have a man in your life, to thank him for. Every day. I try to find at least one or two things a day to say, hey, thank you for that. And show the appreciation for him so that he feels that. Because you know what happens when somebody feels appreciated? They continue to do those things that they felt appreciated for. Respect regulates women because all women desire to feel respected. I want all the women to hear that right now, if you're listening, because a lot of times if you're angry or you're upset or you feel like your marriage is failing or your relationship is just not where it could be or should be or used to be, most likely it's because you don't feel respected. And maybe that has something to do with your self-respect. Maybe you don't respect yourself enough to speak up and to set boundaries. And it's a two-way street. So men need to know that if you're listening, that's what your wife or your female partner wants is respect. So do your best to show respect. Show respect by opening the door, by buying her flowers for no reason, by telling her she looks beautiful, by telling her she's the only one for you, by telling her that your life is better with her in it, by telling her that she inspires you, by telling her that you look up to her. Find ways to show her respect if you haven't done that in a while, and watch and see the response you get from her. Containment creates safety. My husband, Mark, is my container. He's the person I can lean on and lean into, and he can hold me. And that's a blessing. People can only meet me as deeply as they have met themselves. What is inside of my heart will always come out of my mouth. So, this goes for everybody, including me. Whatever's in your heart is coming right through your mouth. Can't hide it because it just comes out. So, it's a matter of taking the time to invest in what's inside of you. And if there's things inside of you that you don't like, then it's time to go through those things and purge all the stuff that's no longer serving you. And really focus on those things, because the year's almost over and you have a brand new year ahead of you, and you don't have to take all those bad habits with you. It's never them, it's always me. And I say this a lot to people, and it's so hard for them to hear this because it's so easy to point the finger and say, oh no, well, he's the reason and she's the reason and my parents are the reason. And it's that one boss that I had all those years ago. No, that's the reason that I'm unhappy. No, nope. It's not them at all. It's never been them. It's always been you. It will always be you. If you have an issue, it's you. If you're unhappy, it's you. If you're unsatisfied, it's you. It's always you. So, I know it's hard to hear, but it's the truth. At the end of the day, it's just me and God. I love this so much. Even though it looks like there's all these people walking around the planet, and they look real, and they seem real, and it feels real, and all that stuff, but guess what? It's just you and God at the end of the day. It's just you and God. Putting God last never works. And I see people do this a lot. They make other things their God. You know, they make their car and their house and their husband and their wife and their vacations and all this stuff. They make those things God. Well, that's never going to fulfill you. It's never going to sustain. It can't. Peace is choosing calm over being right. Time with loved ones is like a melting ice cube. That's a quote from Mel Robbins, which I really, really love so much. She just hit the nail on the head with that one. So I hope that you spend all the quality time you can with the people that you love today. They're lucky to have you in their lives. Silence teaches as much as speaking. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. Sometimes you just need to be. Anger is rooted in sadness, fear, and regret. Think about that. That's where it comes from. So, who hurt you? What are you afraid of? And what do you regret? If you can get to the bottom of those things, the anger will disappear. Doubt and anxiety are toxic, no matter how you try to shape them. Being feminine does not require being pleasant all the time. This is a lesson I learned this year, because I always felt like I had to be pleasant all the time and nice all the time. And guess what? I don't have to be. And sometimes I'm not, and I'm okay with it. I don't always have to be happy and nice to be worthy. I definitely thought I had to be when I was a kid, but I'm no longer a kid and I no longer feel pressured to be those things. I just feel pressured to be myself. That's all. Just be me. The race is long and in the end, it's only with myself. I'm allowed to slow down. This is your permission today, leading into 2026, to slow down. Give yourself permission, to sit on that couch and watch your Netflix and read your book and not have to do anything, because you're enough. Peace is a daily practice. So we have about 4 more minutes. Here's a few more questions that I would like to ask myself and answer. And before we wrap up, I want to thank everybody again for tuning in. And I'm excited to have everybody back for 2026. I have an exciting guest coming on the show next Friday to talk about money and manifestation and just being a wonderful person. And she's going to bring so much goodness to our show. I can't wait to have her. I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's going to be a great interview next week. If this show speaks to you in your heart and you would like to come on here and share about your personal parenting experience or your childhood experience or just being a good human, and there's things in life that you'd like to share, I'd love to host you. So feel free to reach out to me on Parenting Room 101 on Facebook. I'm also Christy Sanborn on Facebook and Instagram. I'm also Christy Sanborn there and Parenting Room 101. And again, I'm so thankful to have you here, and this platform is beautiful. Thank you, WRUU, for hosting this place for us to share so much goodness in the world and our community. I'm so blessed to be here in Savannah, Georgia. So nice to be down south. So I have just a few more questions for me to answer. So here it is. Any New Year's resolutions that I have? Definitely work out more. I guess really just be open to the invitations that come my way and know that they're coming directly to me at the right time, at the right place, divine timing, and to be open to receiving all that's coming my way. Also, a legacy. What is my legacy? Because I do like to ask this question on the show a lot. What are people's legacies? My legacy would be, I just want to be remembered for being me and for growing so much in my life. I want to be remembered for being somebody who was honest, who was loving, who was caring, who was compassionate, somebody who showed up, somebody who didn't give up, somebody who overcame a lot. I want to be remembered for being a great mother and a great wife and a great friend and a great sister and a great aunt. And I want to be remembered for being generous and for being smart and for being a great example of what women are capable of. So that would be my legacy. And for the last question, do I have any favorite female role models? I would say my grandmom, number one. She was just such an angel to me. She's taught me everything I know about life and about being a mom, a wonderful mom, a homemaker. She was incredible. She's with me every day. I named my daughter after her. She's always, always in my heart. So I think she's my favorite role model. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It's been such an honor being with you today. Have a blessed day and Happy New Year. See you this time next week on Parenting Room 101.